St. Paul calls himself the least of the apostles. He even refers to himself as the chief of sinners. Remember that he was the rabid persecutor of Christ, his church, his people. In fact, the book of Acts uses words and images of a wild animal to describe his rage against the church. But yet the Lord intervened in his life, and it turns out the Lord made him the most influential apostle of them all. Today we heard his conversion story on the road to Damascus. It was St. Paul's call to faith and apostleship. It was a dramatic event where the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ appears in full glory, knocks him off his high horse, reveals himself as the great I Am of the Old Testament, and then he blinds Paul. After 3 days, the Lord sends a man named Ananias to Paul in order to preach the gospel, declare absolution, and then to baptize Paul. This dramatic conversion story is both St. Paul's call to faith and his call to apostleship. It dramatically highlights what happens when God intervenes in our lives and he calls us to faith. Not many of us have dramatic conversion stories to tell. Certainly not as dramatic as St. Paul's. That's because the Lord works usually in more quiet ways, like what we saw today in the waters of holy baptism. Holy baptism is your Damascus conversion event, if you will. Think about what happens in holy baptism. Think about what happened when you were baptized. The same exact crucified and risen Savior is present. He is intervening in your life with his powerful word to forgive your sins and to call you to faith. Like with St. Paul, in holy baptism, conversion is 100% God at work in your life. It's God intervening in your life to bring you salvation. In holy baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ forgives your sins. He delivers you from death and the devil, and he gives you eternal salvation, as the words and promises of God declares. God's call, his call to faith for you, highlights his initiative, his power, and his work in your life. It is God intervening in your wayward, sinful life to bring you salvation. It highlights his grace and his mercy to you, his kindness and his goodness. It highlights the power of his word at work in your life. We usually call that word the gospel, the good news. It's a catchphrase. It's a biblical word that captures the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that intervenes in your life to bring you repentance and the forgiveness of sins. The gospel, the word of God, the good news about salvation in Christ is the power of God that brings salvation to you, just like it did St. Paul on the road to Damascus. Today, as we begin this summer series on the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, we want to spend a little bit of time looking at the author of the book, St. Paul. He's the one that the Holy Spirit has chosen to write this book, to work in his life. Here's how St. Paul describes his conversion. Read this with me. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. When St. Paul looked back on that event, he saw it as God calling him, he saw it as the will of God so that he could be an apostle. God's specific gift to the apostle Paul, to St. Paul, was that he would be an apostle. That is a unique gift given to a handful of men. An apostle is an official representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord personally chose Paul. He appeared to him in his resurrected body in full glory, converted him, and commissioned him to preach the gospel to all nations. Paul did his missionary work in the power and the authority of the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. His apostolic authority remains even today. The things that St. Paul wrote in the New Testament remain authoritative in our lives as well. His 13 books in the New Testament are part of the inspired and inerrant Holy Scriptures. When you think about the New Testament, the bulk of it was written by Paul or overseen by Paul. St. Paul wrote the books of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and he oversaw the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. The bulk of our New Testament was written by this specific apostle, this specific authorized representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later, St. Paul would say in the New Testament that he's an ambassador for Christ, as if Christ himself were speaking to you through him. As we get started with this summer series on 1 Corinthians, we want to make sure that we understand that through the author, St. Paul, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking to us, that the Lord is teaching us about our lives in faith. He's teaching us how to be biblically literate and doctrinally sound disciples, how to be mission-minded and passionately engaged disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord himself who is writing, who is working through St. Paul to write to a church in Corinth. This book was written to a congregation like ours. This book of 1 Corinthians teaches us what congregational life looks like and what it means. As we read and hear and study the book of 1 Corinthians, we are reading and hearing and studying the very words of Christ as he works and speaks through his authorized representative, through his apostle that we know as Paul. St. Paul was called to faith by Jesus and given the gifts needed to be an apostle. The same Lord Jesus has called you to faith, and he has given you gifts as well so that you can glorify the Lord and you can serve other people. None of us, though, have been given the gifts to be an apostle. Those days are over. It was a handful of men at the beginning of the church. But God has given you special gifts to use in and through your vocations. Remember, vocation is the Latin word for callings. A calling, your vocation, is wherever you have duties and responsibilities in life. Think about those places in your life. Are you a husband or a wife? A mother or a father? A brother or a sister? A son or a daughter? A worker? A citizen? A student? A friend? A neighbor? We all have many and various vocations, callings in life, places where we have duties and responsibilities. And it's in those vocations where you let your light shine and you use your gifts and talents and abilities to glorify God and to serve other people. God's call to you, his call to faith, highlights his initiative, that he's the one intervening in your life to bring you salvation by his powerful word, and that he's equipping you. Just like he equipped St. Paul to be an apostle, he's equipped you with gifts and talents so that you can let your light shine in your vocation. Vocations, plural. One way to think about this is that through faith in Christ, we learn to understand that everything we have and everything we are is a gift from God's good hand to glorify him and to serve other people. God has called you to faith, intervened in your life, taken the initiative, brought you salvation. There's two other related words, though, that I want you to know that St. Paul uses in 1 Corinthians that really brings this into sharper focus. Not only has the Lord called you to faith, but he's also made you holy. Holiness is another related word because it means that you've been set apart from others. You've been set apart from the world to live a holy and a godly life. Remember that the Latin word for holiness is where we get the English word saint from. God makes you a saint, not because you're so good and holy and righteous in and of yourself. That's not what it is. Holiness, you're a saint because God has set you apart to live a holy and a godly life so that you can glorify him and serve others in your vocations. You've been set apart and given purpose and meaning in your life. It means that you belong to him. It's a result of God intervening in your life and calling you to faith that you are now set apart. You are holy. You are a saint. You are to live your life according to the Ten Commandments. Here's how St. Paul writes about this in the second verse. Remember the first verse of 1 Corinthians, he talks about himself. Now he's going to talk about us in the second verse. Let's read this together. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word sanctified and holy are related terms in the Greek text. That you, it's an emphasis that you have been set apart, given purpose and meaning to live a holy and a godly life. This is the result of God intervening in your life. This is what happens after baptism. It's not like you're the same person before baptism and after person. Baptism is a transitional moment for you. It's your Damascus Road experience and conversion event where you are now changed. You've been called out of the world. You've been set apart. You are holy. You're a saint. There's one other word that corresponds with all of this. Called, holy, and church. The word church is means the gathering of the holy ones. It's the gathering of the called and holy ones in Christ. It's the gathering of God's people. One way to think about it is that God's call to you is that you have been called out of the world, out of the sinful, broken world, and into his church, into the place where God's people dwell, into the holy Christian, one holy Christian apostolic church, the gathering of the holy ones. We gather together to celebrate God's goodness, to focus our attention on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are renewed in his words so that we can go back out into our vocations and serve God, glorify God, and serve other people. Weekly worship attendance is probably the single most public thing that you can do that signals that you're a saint, that you've been called, because you are taking time out of your schedule to gather together where God's people gather, at church, in worship. Here's how St. Peter describes it. Take a look at this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That last phrase that's highlighted is a good way to define what the word church means in the New Testament. There's been a movement in your life. God has moved you from the ways of the world into the ways of his kingdom, into his church, the place where the holy ones gather. You know, as you think about this idea about being called, about being holy, about being part of the church, one of the truths of salvation is that you are what God says you are. Regardless of how you feel at any given time, regardless of how much you stumble and fall, regardless of what other people think about you, you are who God says you are. God says that you're called. He says that you're holy. He says that you belong in the church. God has intervened in your life in the waters of holy baptism. It's all God at work in your life. It is sheer mercy. It is amazing grace. Just like we read about it in St. Paul's story in Acts chapter 9, similar things have happened to us in our lives. You've been called, you've been made holy, you've been brought into the holy Christian church. Go out now and live each day in God's call, in your vocations, glorifying God and serving other people. Amen.